everybody, and welcome to the Fortress of Comic News, episode 180. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host, Mike.
Hey, I am so happy to be here today. We do have a fantastic interview today, and we want to get to it as quickly as possible. Just an awesome dude. Richard Fairgray is on the show. Creator of Blastosaurus, creator of Black Sand Beach, the background here if you're watching with your beautiful eyes. I couldn't get enough of this interview, and I am so excited to share it with everybody, not only because he's a fan of horror, but just the way he views horror and just everything. I mean, he's had such a I think one of my favorite origin stories, not to set the bar kind of high for the listeners, but one of my favorite origin stories on the show to this day. And we've done quite a few episodes. I don't know. I lost track around 100 something, but
I want to do a 8-part Netflix docuseries on his life. Yeah. That's how much I enjoyed his stories.
So let Chris write that, Richard. And we'll go from there. The royalties will just, they'll back the truck up of the money. Netflix will, because they own money trucks. But yeah, so let's cut to that as soon as we can, but we got some stuff to cover really quick beforehand.
Yeah, so everybody out there, you're hearing this on Monday, September 21st. Wednesday, September 23rd, Battle Monsters will be on Comixology. So everybody check that out. You know, maybe don't buy one Marvel book and get mine instead. That'd be cool. And then to celebrate, I'm doing discounts on our Fortress Comic News store. So if you go to fortresscomicnews.com/store, and for this show only, we're going to use the promo code Fortress. And you guys, because I love you all so much, are going to get 33% off everything on the store. So that includes digital copies of Battle Monster, physical copies, and the commentary track that my other co-host Joe and I did for Mask of the Phantasm. All that available, 33% off. You guys are getting that. Everybody else is getting a much smaller discount. But I love you guys. So go do that. That's fortresscomicnews.com/store and use the promo code Fortress.
Awesome. And with that, we're going to jump into the show. The news, because there's still a few Walking Dead fans out there. Just Chris. AMC has announced some big plans for the Walking Dead franchise. Big plans. 12 seasons wasn't big enough. First, the core show will end after its 11th season in 2021. There will be a spinoff from that series starring Daryl and Carol, because, you know, that's the only two characters left from the beginning. Besides, I think Maggie was season 2, you said. I remember you said that, but
yeah, Maggie's season 2, and she's technically still around, so yeah.
Also, the once online-only anthology series will air on AMC as a proper series. This anthology series will tell stories all across the Walking Dead universe and will bring back different characters from all of the shows, as well as tell stories about some new characters. So it's almost like they're going to like a Twilight Zone thing set in the Walking Dead universe.
So I'm super curious about the spinoff show and why it's just not the 12th season of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. But also, this anthology series sounds cool because they can go back and tell Shane stories or tell whoever from any Walking Dead show, or they can make a brand new character and just tell a random story of this person doing things with zombies. So I think that's cool. I'm down for these.
Yeah, for sure. And we got some HBO Max news. Doom Patrol has been renewed for a third season on HBO Max. This is, you know, if you were to, Doom Patrol is fantastic. I just got to get back into the second season. It's wacky, but it works. The bigger news here might be that it's official that it's going to HBO Max, and I think goodbye DC Universe TV, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that news gets pushed down into the comics because of how it's laying out, but yeah,
right.
It was said that all those DC Universe things are going to be HBO Max originals now.
Yep.
Which, fine, I would rather just have one streaming service for a company.
And I think Doom Patrol will probably get more notice now that it's going to HBO Max, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, that show just came off of word of mouth, I feel like, from that season one, and it's been riding that, so good for them.
Yeah, and I want to get back into it, too.
Yeah.
I got through, like, most of the first season and just never went back to it. But now that I have some free time and I don't have much to watch other than The Boys, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a minute, I would like to get back into it and give it a second run. So,
Young Justice is going to return for a fourth season. So any Young Justice fans out there, I had a little trouble trying to get into that new roll call they got going on without the classic heroes, but it's been, I mean, it was a solid third season, nothing spectacular, but
there's people that love that show and swear by that show, and good for them. It was never anything for me, but I also not a big fan of the sidekicks as main heroes thing.
Yeah. Marvel's found its She-Hulk actress, and with that ensues all the Photoshop posters coming out on the internet. Tatiana Maslany will play Jennifer Walters in the upcoming Disney Plus series. So there you go. She's She-Hulk. I don't know her from anything. I know she's a famous actress. I can't remember the show right now, but
yeah, she's on some big show. I don't know what she's from personally. I haven't seen her in anything, but I can tell from pictures and just everything I've seen since this announcement, she definitely has the look and the build for She-Hulk. So
yeah. She-Hulk smashed the ratings.
Yeah, I'm down for these Disney Plus series to start. Oh, yeah. Like, I really want to get into them.
Yeah, more of that and less of the $30 charging for a movie on your subscription
service. Yeah, I won't go into that rant. But we won't go into that rant.
But don't do any more of that. Norman Reedus and Big Bald Head Productions, yes, that's right, Big Bald Head Productions, have reached a deal with Aftershock Comics to produce a television series based on the comic series Undone by Blood. So, interesting.
Have you read this series?
I have not.
Upon this news, it seemed like a very Mike book, but
a lot of the Aftershock stuff, I moved to digital comics right now, and if I move to a bigger place, I can start collecting comics again, but no, I have not. A lot of the Aftershock stuff doesn't get printed digitally right away, or published digitally right away.
Oh yeah, so it seems like Norman Reedus has another television show based on a comic he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean,
good for Aftershock, because Aftershock's been putting out some good stuff. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. And when I can, I will grab some Aftershock stuff, and we've had some of the writers and artists on here. So yeah, good for them. That's awesome.
Did you watch the newest episode of The Boys?
No, I haven't watched this Friday's. I watched last Friday's. I have not.
So, I watched this Friday. All I'm going to say is it's awesome. Homelander is still fucking weird, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an amazing sex scene in it. And I don't mean that in the, oh, yeah, sex. I mean, just there's an awesome sex scene in it. The show is awesome, and everybody should be watching it.
Yeah. I mean, every week, and even, the last week's episode, it's the scenes with Homelander are becoming so suspenseful, just having him in the room, this guy could just rip into someone if he wanted to, you know?
There's a couple big moments in here in this episode. Mm-hmm. One, terror is actually in the show. And that was awesome. We get a moment with Black Noir. That was really great. And I'm telling you, when you sit down and watch it, probably tonight or tomorrow, whenever it happens, you're going to be you're going to text me and be like, that sex scene. And anyone who's watched it knows what I'm talking about. It's just, it was a fantastic scene, and it kind of came out of nowhere. Uh-huh. And I don't know, it's one of those things from the show that's going to stick with me, is that scene.
It wasn't the guy who was getting paid by weird kinky people to chop his limbs off.
That was weird too.
Awesome. I mean, hey, if I, you know, you regrow limbs and you can get people off, why not charge your money for it?
Listen, I've been very consistent on this. Go out there and get your money, people. Whatever you got to do.
Go
make as that. Long as you can live with yourself at the end of the day and you're not hurting other people.
Yep. It's official. Shazam 2 will be titled Shazam Fury of the Gods. So.
Okay, cool. All
right, give me
some movie.
Yeah, give me the movie. Marvel has cast Jonathan Majors from the HBO series Lovecraft Country. And I've been talking about this show. I haven't watched it yet, but this seems right up my alley. We had talked about it a little before, And I've been hearing really good reviews about it. People are loving this show.
I want to watch that show, but yeah, I don't have HBO right now.
Right. Jonathan Majors is going to be in Ant-Man 3. Deadline has reported that he'll play the villain. You ready? Kang the Conqueror.
So this is the first of two victory laps I'm going to take, because after Endgame, I said on this show that the next villain was going to be Kang the Conqueror, because when you fuck with time, Kang gets pissed.
Yep.
Sense. So I'm down. I haven't seen the show. I haven't seen this guy's work, but I hear he's a great actor. I hear he's the lead of this Lovecraft show. So I'm down for Kang to be the next villain. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. That's, and I don't know much about him except for what you've told me. And yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, I don't know if they're Marvel's starting to read your letters or what, but Kevin Feige, if you need an assistant,
listen, if someone at Marvel is listening to the show, like, we would love to do more with you.
Right.
You can just email us.
Yeah. FortressComicNews@gmail. Just,
I also, you know, have a PayPal. You can send me money.
Yep. But right now we want to redirect all our attention and money to our awesome interview with Richard Fairgray. Let's cut to that, and we shall see everybody on the other side.
Hey everybody, Chris here. Just want to take a quick break from the show to remind you all that if you go to FortressOfComicNews.com, there's a banner at the top for Amazon. If you use that Amazon banner, we get a little kickback from it as an advertising fee. So if you do any of your purchases on Amazon, we would really appreciate it if you would use our banner to do all your purchases. That way you can help out the show, help out us, and get all the awesome things you buy on Amazon, including comics, DVDs, everything. So remember, go to FortressComicNews.com and use that Amazon banner on the top. Thank you all so much for listening, and let's move on to the rest of the show. Welcome back, everybody. Today we have a very special guest with a very special story attached to him. So everybody, welcome to the show, Mr. Richard Fairgray. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Hey, how are you? Good.
Oh, good. Well, I'm just so glad that when Chris told me, like, okay, Richard's coming to the show this week, I only had like a week notice, and I don't think it was long enough for me to prepare for how awesome I was, like, and the background. I know not a lot of people watch it on YouTube. Most people listen to us on Spotify and stuff, but like, even just your spooky decorations are getting me hyped to do this interview, because I love what you've done to the place.
Thank you.
Is it your Halloween decorations, or is this just this all the time? This is getting me in the mood for my horror stuff.
This is my I built a haunted house for my wedding a couple of years ago, and then when we took that all down, I just converted it into my writing office. I do all my drawing inside the house. It's all very well lit and clean and nice, but when I'm writing, I like to be away from all the dogs in a dimly lit room full of skeletons.
I can understand that. I have three cats, and I like for them to be as far away from my writing and / recording studio as possible.
Yeah, I'm also like, because you'll mention this later, I'm sure. So I'm spoilers for everyone, because I'm blind on my left side, and I have three Great Danes that are at the exact right height that when I'm working, they can just come up and stick a tongue like in my eye.
You just never know when it's coming.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So yeah, go ahead. For all the guests out there, and for Richard, because he hasn't heard the story yet, Blastosaurus is the book we're going to mostly be talking about today, on top of his stuff he's coming out recently. But last year we were doing Free Comic Book Day, and every Free Comic Book Day, I always tend to find something weird or something out there or something to get excited about. Remember one year it was a book called Corn Boy, where literally a woman has sex with an ear of corn, and then out comes Corn Boy. And
he rose to the rank of colonel.
Oh wow.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was great. That was perfect.
And last year I remember a Free Comic Book Day issue of Blastosaurus, and I ran over to Mike. I was like, dude, Blastosaurus, like, this is the book of the year, like, this is what it is. This,
yeah.
And we read it, and we're just like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And just absolutely loved it. And it was that year, me running around just telling, whenever somebody come into the booth, be like, hey, you know, we're Fortress Comic News, and this is what we do and everything. And by the way, go grab a copy of Blastosaurus, because it's awesome.
Yep.
And that was kind of how you jumped on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this interview comes from. A year ago, when we were doing Free Comic Book Day, and I saw that book, and then I think we talked later in the year, and things didn't work out, and then recently we reconnected. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really glad to have you here, Rich.
And did you get this year's issue?
No. When did it come out?
Well, we were part of the Free Comic Book Summer thing. I think we were like
September 9th
or something. I'll send you guys a PDF of it afterwards because it's very good.
Yeah,
so, Free Comic Book Summer has been weird because I got the list and I remember there was like three books that I told my retailers like these three I have to have no matter what. And then from there it was because the Free Comic Book Day list is always weird every year. In terms of how they send it out to people. And I don't remember seeing Blastosaurus on there. So
was,
I'm sorry.
It was called, this year it was called, there was, so there was, I had two stories in there, one for my new book, Black Sand Beach, and one for Blastosaurus, and then also a reprint of my first ever comic, Ghost Ghost. But so it was called the Richard Fairgray Monster Showcase, and it had a picture of me on the cover, which I really thought would decrease the orders, but it didn't. So.
Surprise.
Yeah, take that, Mom.
I don't, so I wonder how, like, is that a good thing or a bad thing that you got more orders than a, you know, a giant dinosaur?
I mean, to be fair, the dinosaur was still on the cover, but it was just, it was me with my head opening up, and you know, everyone does that, like, and all their ideas are flying out, and I hate that, so I did it that they, like, all my characters were just sitting in my brain goo, and just, like, picking at it and getting it out of their clothes and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's a way better mental image.
Some of them were eating it.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So, I mean, before we talk about Blastosaurus, because I mean, we want to do that, and then Black Sand Beach, just give us the quick origin story. We won't hold you here all day about it, but what got you into comics? Early age, were you reading comics?
How did it start for you? No, so I was. It kind of starts. This is. I'm going to take you really far back.
Okay.
I'm 3 years old. I'm in this toy store. There's you can enter. It's called the Toy Warehouse. This is back when I lived in New Zealand, and you could enter it from the roof. And the idea of driving onto the roof of a building was magical. And then you went down these like crappy broken wooden stairs, and you walked across this catwalk, and you had to go across the entire store above it. And I remember looking down the first time we went through the top doors. And seeing all these people just, like, buying toys. And the thing about this place was it was super cheap. Like, this was – it went out of business because it was super cheap. But this is where you would go for, like, oh, a Ninja Turtle action figure is $3 here? Now, even – like, and in New Zealand, even in the, like, early 90s, an action figure was, like, $28.
Yeah.
So it was – this was insane. And anyway, just like seeing that, I was like, oh, I want to make money to buy toys with. That was my entire motivation.
Yep.
And so I started making books, and I wrote a book called Donald Duck in the Haunted House, and it got me in a lot of trouble because I was four, and it was about Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse are meant to go to a haunted house together, and then Mickey doesn't show up, so Donald is sad and goes in on his own. He meets a ghost who's also sad because the ghost has no friends. And so Donald shoots himself in the face so that he can become a ghost and have a friend. And my parents were called into my kindergarten, and it was like a whole thing. Yeah. And I was like, this is the best feeling in the entire world. Like, look how many people are talking about the thing I made. and so when I was seven, I made my first comic, and it was called Ghost Ghost. And it was about a ghost who was invisible and lonely. There's a running theme.
Yeah.
I say it out loud.
I'm starting to notice something here.
And here I am hanging out with my plastic skeleton collection. I'm real cool.
We don't judge. We don't judge.
Behind me is my best friend, Nigel. I stole him. So I made this comic, and I thought at the time that comics didn't exist because there were no comic stores in New Zealand. I think there were like four in the entire country. I'd never seen a comic in person, but I'd seen them on TV. Like, I knew that Michelangelo read comics, Bart Simpson read comics. So they must have existed at some point. And if I could start making them myself, I'd be the only person in the entire world doing it. And then I'd be a millionaire.
Right.
So my school had just gotten in a collection of VHS tapes to the school library. It was very controversial, and the librarian had really had to fight to do it. And I noticed they had the same barcode stickers as the local video store. So I got four kids who didn't, who weren't close friends with me, who didn't like me, and I paid them each $4 to withdraw four tapes each and bring them to me. That was the maximum number of tapes you could get out. I took those tapes, I slid them in my backpack along the floor into the video store, into the adult section, swapped out the stickers, swapped out the tapes, which took like a solid 45 minutes of very careful picking and peeling. The next day, I returned all the tapes to the library. None of them were in my name. There was no record of who'd done it. I went back in right before recess, and I said to the librarian, I will tell you which tapes are porn if you give me free photocopying. And she didn't believe me, and so I just walked over to her shelf and seemingly at random picked up a tape, shoved it in the player, and it started playing a particularly intense scene, or what I thought was an intense scene as a seven-year-old. And so I then had free photocopying to make my books. I made 200 copies of Ghost Ghost, and I sold it at we had a school athletics day, which I was not taking part in. And I just sold it to, like, parents who felt sorry for me, I think. But I got to buy a lot of Ninja Turtles and a lot of Power Rangers, and I was like, this is the best thing ever. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
This hands down, is the best origin story I have heard. How do you talk? You Mission Impossible porn tapes in your library at school to fund your sad comic. Yeah. This is amazing. It's awesome. You had a better business plan of what to do with your money at 7 years old than I do now. And I'm a grown man. Please take my money and invest it for me. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. What?
The thing is, it all comes back. The karma comes back on you, though, because, like, as an adult, I spent my life savings to fund a feature film that got filmed with the camera on the wrong setting. So that cost me a bit. And then I bought a house. The market went crazy. It looked like I was going to make a lot of money. And then I got divorced. We agreed to split the value of the house 50-50. And then someone let go of their trailer. It rolled down the driveway, took out the bottom floor of my house, and it was worth nothing.
That's just ridiculous.
I mean, it was yeah. One of those things where, like, I was thinking about moving to America, and then that happened. I was like, I'm just gonna go. And I went. I took everything I owned. I had one convention to do before I was getting on a plane to go. I was flying to LA to go to a Tegan and Sarah concert because I'm ridiculous.
That's so fun. Go for it.
I was doing a convention the 4 days leading up to that. So I took everything I owned, and every comic that sold came with a free personal item, and I sold every page of art was for $5 or free if you were a child. And I left New Zealand. I went from the convention with a big plastic tub that had Nigel my skeleton, six pairs of shoes, some clothes, and like $27,000 in cash, and went to the airport. I was like, America, please. I slept through the Tegan and Sarah concert, which was really I really feel like I screwed that one up. But you know,
in the grand scheme of things, that might have been the worst choice out of everything there, I think. I don't know. What the hell? That's awesome. And so you're in the U.S., and, I mean, is Blastosaurus is already a thing at that point, right?
It's established, right? So back in, I kept making comics, like, forever all the way through. Mm-hmm. I decided to stop at 100. I had my 100th book coming out. I was 22. And it was this, like, my first big, like, I'd done a bunch of long form stuff before, but this was, like, really nicely printed, because I'd agreed to draw someone else's comic for them if they paid for the fanciness of this one. Mm. And I will not say the name of the comic I drew for them, because it was the worst thing in the world. I put this book out. I was like, I'm retiring. That's it. And in it, it was a comic structured like a movie being played on TV. So it had fake commercial breaks throughout it. And one of the commercials was for a fake kids show called Gunnosaurus. And I was then going to make my feature film and then give up on life and become a high school teacher. Because I believed all adults should be unhappy, because I'd never made a happy adult before. And then I got a message from someone saying, hey, I found your comic. reference to a movie that no one else has ever heard of, it seems. Do you want to be friends? Cut to long internet relationship, deep and true and abiding love. Me moving to Australia, working as an assistant to this person. And on the when they because they shot some of Wolverine in New Zealand, which is how that started, and then they moved to Australia. I moved to Australia for a few months, and basically someone else then there who was at Fox at the time saw this ad for Gunnosaurus and was like, if you change the name to Blastosaurus, I think we could have like a pretty good comic concept. So I very, very quickly, in like 3 days, I think, produced the first issue. It was stupid. There was no real story to it. It was just like, a dinosaur stops some people from robbing a bank because bank robbery is bad, apparently, in theory. And then that all fell apart. Everything went horribly wrong, but it took 2 years. And during that 2 years, I didn't become a teacher. I started making comics full time. Because I just finished college, so until then it had kind of been, like, in my spare time. And then I got the rights to Blastosaurus back, launched it in New Zealand, did it there for 8 years, and then I was like, looking around, and I had, like, my booth at conventions was, like, 60 feet wide, and I had 200 books, and I had an action figure and a video game, and I was like, I cannot do anything else, and I'm 30. Like, there's nowhere to go. And so my house collapsed, packed up my skeleton, moved to America and started over.
Wow. And then where'd you go from there? Is that where Black Sand Beach comes in, or?
Well, so there was kind of a period of about a week where I don't really remember anything. Cause I was so jet lagged. Mm-hmm. And I know that, I canceled my credit card cause I thought it had been stolen, but it turned out I just paid my friend's phone bill for them. So that was super fun when I didn't yet have an address or a social security number or a bank account in America, just $27,000 in New Zealand cash.
Yeah.
Apparently what had happened was that on my first day there, I had said to my friend, I need to find a comic store so that I know where to buy comics from. Mm-hmm. And he took me to Golden Apple.
Okay.
And I got talking to the guys there. I told them I made comics. I showed them Blastosaurus, and they offered me they'd started publishing, and they offered me a deal, based on my Instagram pictures, basically. Mm-hmm. And I forgot this had happened, and they called me 2 weeks later, and they're like, "So when are we gonna get a script?" And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about, like at all." And so then my plan had sort of been to take a year off from Blasto, work on other stuff, and just kind of find my footing in America. And then instead I ended up doing a monthly comic for them that launched the following June.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on my honeymoon in New York, and an old editor, I used to do picture books, and an old editor of mine reached out, and she was like, I'm working at this company. We're looking for anything that can be a series. Can you come in? And I was like, I happen to be in New York right now. So yeah, I actually can.
Wow.
And I didn't have anything, but I spent a lot of my summers as a kid at a haunted lighthouse. And so I just kind of made up a thing in the room. I was like, it's about a kid. There's a haunted lighthouse, and the sand is black and magnetic. And there's this weird family that, you know, and the beach house is built by his dad, and it's all falling apart. I'm just pulling all of this from my life. And Blastosaurus was on hiatus at this point because we'd finish the first story arc, and I wanted to have a break to build my haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And they, and then, so I sold Black Sand Beach, signed the deal. The next day we got told that we were in Free Comic Book Day the following year. So suddenly I had to drop everything and produce like twice as much work in the space of like a month to get that issue done. And I had pitched Black Sand Beach. A lot of these times I do these things where I don't think things through or read contracts. So I pitched Black Sand Beach, and by the way, that sounds like I'm saying that as if I've learned my lesson. I haven't. Like,
Still doing it. Still
yeah,
doing
absolutely.
It
So I pitched Black Sand Beach as 364-page graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
They came back with an offer that they met my page rate, but they only wanted two. I was a little bummed out, but I was like, I can figure out how to tell that story in two books. It'll work. And signed the deal, didn't think about it. And then I get a call from my editor, and she says, do you think you can get this book done in time? It's only like 3 months that you have to draw the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, it's 64 pages. Like, that's very easy. And she was like, no, Richard, it's 192 pages. The book is, each book has three 64-page stories. That's what you said. I was like, cool. That's going to be real fun to do. So I moved into my office full-time, started just bulk ordering all my food. Adult premium body wipes should not be bought from a website that Google can't translate, because just because you're getting 20,000 of them for $100 doesn't mean they're going to be up to standard, doesn't mean they can replace showers, and I do have permanent chemical burns. But I got the book done.
I mean, you got to give something for...
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I've done nothing with my life.
What am I doing here?
Here's the book. This is Black Sand Beach.
And this is the book.
This is 3 months, 192 pages of full color comic that almost killed me. I'm now 39 pages into book three of the series. Book two comes out next May, and the ebook of this, if you're being a clever person and isolating like I am, you can get the ebook in October.
So you said there's a third book coming out, but you only pitched two. So does that mean
the series went well, and they have picked it up for they've picked up a third and fourth, and there's a spinoff, and there's a spinoff podcast that the first season of is online now, of short horror stories. I always wanted to do like a collection of short horror stories because I loved those as a kid. And then when I was like, oh, I could just do it as a podcast and pretend that like I found these old recordings of things that had happened at this weird place.
Oh,
and they're cool. Loosely based on things that really did happen. And then some of them are just kind of, a lot of my horror stories are like, take something really ordinary and just twist it a little bit. I just finished a story for an anthology called Nightmare Theater, which will be on Kickstarter in October. Everyone should look out for it. It's going to be very good. It's all horror stories. And I did an 8-page story about a guy who's having a really good time at a party, thinks he's making great new friends, goes to the bathroom and sees two corncob holders in the toothbrush cup, and he just freaks out because there's no, like, why is a corncob holder in the bathroom? And he just slowly falls apart as he tries to imagine the different reasons.
Oh my god, yeah, you'll go insane.
Yeah, and like, spoiler, there is no worse reason for them to be there than that someone is eating corn on the toilet.
Oh, my
God. Like, it's the most obvious, right. And it's sort of the least gross, but it's the most upsetting.
This is the best Twilight Zone episode I never got to watch. Rod Sterling says something, I don't know, he comes out and he's like, you know.
Imagine if you will.
An corn knows no bounds in the Twilight Zone or something, I don't know.
It's kernels all the way down.
What's sad is it sounds like something I did in college.
Oh, wow. Chris was there. He lived it. Oh, man.
Okay, so I have 1,000 questions.
my biggest question is, if you've
never taken a poop while drinking a beer,
well, no, of course, everyone's done that. But, like, that doesn't, like, that doesn't, okay.
Listen, here's
the difference. If you are taking a poop while drinking a beer, or like having a shower, drinking some wine, whatever fancy thing you want to do, like, you're just, it's two birds, one stone, right? You don't keep a special beer glass next to the toilet, though.
Sure.
So, at one point in my life, I drank much heavier than I do today. And I can say that I've woken up in places that I don't understand how I got there, why I would ever be there, or why things around me are what they are. So I completely believe that I would get way too drunk and just be like, this corn looks delicious. Man, I gotta poop. And then things happen. Like, yeah.
Well, no, this is the concerning part for me is if you're so worried about using corn cob holders to hold the corn and you don't want to, you know, touch the corn, why the, like, but you have the same attitude to just eat it while you're shitting, you know what I mean? Like, that's the type of person that concerns me.
It's not about not touching the corn, it's about just the ease of having it and how you can just like demolish that thing like a typewriter. Just going to town on it.
Anyways, so before we get to that, I have this horrible mental image going on right now. I don't know, like, I love that story, but I also love the idea of Black Sand Beach and that you're finally getting to do the horror stuff that you want. Like, this is what you've always kind of wanted to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Horror is my favorite genre. And it's especially, like, I have very specific ideas about horror.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of horror stories, and I blame, like, the fact that horror can be done low budget is sort of to blame for this, I think, that most scary things now are, hey, what if someone really unpleasant was in your house? Like, what if a bunch of, like, football players showed up and just pushed things? Like, that's, right. I mean, it's unsettling, and I don't want it to happen, but, right. like, the best horror is the stuff where you are scared for a second, and then you're laughing. Or, like, you're smiling while you're afraid because it's so delightful and ridiculous. And, like, that's what the good haunted houses used to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I want to try and, like, capture that sort of weirdness.
Okay. So give us all I can picture is when you pitched Black Sand Beach is, like, the pitch scene from Seinfeld. Like, it gets worse and worse. But, I mean, you seem to capture their attention with it. So, I mean, besides the magnetic sand and the kids going to the lighthouse, like, what else is this about?
So, it's about a 12-year-old boy named Dash who, he has to spend the summer at his with his dad and his stepmother at this broken-down old beach house that's up on poles at this place that has no TV, no TV reception, no cell reception.
Mm-hmm.
There is just nothing. There's no other houses except this, like, these neighbors called the Mulchucks who are kind of mutant things that everyone just knows to stay away from.
Okay.
And they get there, he's there, his best friend is with him, that's the only kind of saving grace for it. And he gets there, his cousins are there, his awful aunt is there, who he used to find really fun, but, like, you know when an aunt or uncle is really fun when you're a kid, and then they don't grow up? And you're like, oh, why are you still like this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's one of the, like, she's, you know, like, I'm 12, I'm too old to get noogies, Aunt Lynn.
Right. Stop pinching my cheeks. I'm almost 30, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of just in this awful space, and the whole place has a creepy vibe. And then there's this old lighthouse that has been decommissioned since last century. It never worked well. And he wakes up in the night, and he can hear someone's whispering his name, and he sees this light, and he looks out the window, and the lighthouse is on. But the light is kind of blinking on and off, pointing in different directions as if it's, like, looking for him.
Mm.
And so they go to investigate it, and he wakes up. They get trapped by the tide, and he wakes up in the night, and he sees the light is on again, and they're inside the lighthouse now, and he looks out, and this is based on a true thing that happened to me. Mm. He looks out the window of the lighthouse, and where the light is hitting the ocean, all the people who died in shipwrecks there are crawling onto the beach and screaming at him, "Why did you turn out the light?"
Oh,
and I don't want to give away too many things, yeah. But the crux of the series is that he writes everything in a journal all the time, and he has not been to this place for, like, 6 years. Mm. And at the end of the first book, they find his journal from the previous summer in the basement of the lighthouse, and it turns out he was there last year, but for some reason can't remember it.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
So, and then because so many weird things go on in this place, I can do, like, there is this big main story where this creepy spirit called Umbra is whispering to him and telling him he's the one who can help him get free. But mm-hmm. also there's, like, these creatures that are definitely not cows, that are, like, bipedal green horses with giant mouths in their stomachs that replace people and no one notices.
Oh,
and
wow.
a sheep that for some reason cannot ever be killed, or a monster who eats people from the feet up and keeps their heads in its mouth so it can wear their faces as a disguise.
Amazing. I'm sold. I got to read this book. Like, I, you know, you captured me with Blastosaurus, but I'm a huge horror fan, and for some reason I got to read this. I mean, it's completely, it's like the polar opposite. I mean, besides the sad stuff, you know, but it's the complete opposite of what Blastosaurus was, but I need to read it. And you're continuing the story and stuff. So you could just take this and keep going with it. Right. I mean, it's,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have plans for at least the first 10 books, and that in no way wraps up the big story. Okay. So, wow. And then with the spin-off series of short stories, which are all just text stories, mm-hmm. It's 13 short scary stories, and the ebook of Black Sand Beach Volume 1, which is Are You Afraid of the Light, comes out, I think, October 6th, and with that, you get the first three of the short stories that tie into it, which are based on the podcast.
Oh, awesome.
So a project that was pitched on a whim just because you had a meeting has become something that you've really kind of delved yourself into.
Yeah, it's the book I'm the most obsessed with. Like, I tell people about the living in my office and, like, not leaving the building for 8 weeks at one point, and mm-hmm. the chemical burns and the hiding from the security guard because I wasn't technically allowed to be there overnight. And the it was on Sunset Boulevard, and at, like, 2:30 every morning, the cops go and sweep all the crazy people off of Hollywood Boulevard, and they go directly south. And my building's in this big, like, historic complex with big wrought iron fences around it, and an actual haunted lighthouse in the complex, which is upsetting for me. About 2:30 to 3, all these people try and break in, and if my light was on, they would try and like climb the walls of the building to get in at me. And that's a wild way to live. And I tell people about it, and everyone's like, "Oh, that sounds horrible. Why do you do that?" I'm like, "No, I'm telling you about the best thing that ever happened to me." This was like, do you not understand, like, that feeling of, like, when you're going, I mean, it kind of all goes back to, like, being on that catwalk across the toy store. Like, I'm in a part of the store that I'm not meant to be at. I'm behind the scenes at the mall. Mm-hmm. I'm in the, like, in the school classroom overnight finishing an art project. Like, right. Capturing that feeling is kind of the best.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing and terrifying all at the same time to me, I think.
I was I had to leave America recently because of my visa got canceled basically because I was out of the country at the wrong time, and mm-hmm. so I'm now in Canada. I was splitting my time between Hollywood and Canada for mm-hmm. the past 3 years, and I miss it quite terribly. But I have this one big regret. Right before COVID hit, I was walking home, because my office and my house were sort of close enough to each other. Like, right, like my office is literally the marker for the exact center of Hollywood. Wow. So for people who know Hollywood, that gives them an idea of the trash. And I was walking home, and it was about 11 o'clock on a like Wednesday night, and there was this shipping container that I had to walk past. And it always had this kind of creepy vibe to it, because like there was a very narrow path between, it was sitting half on the road, and so you had to kind of go around it, mm-hmm. and there's a very dark alleyway had been created by it and a fence. And I'm walking down the street, and it smells of like laundry detergent. And I'm like, what's going on? Something weird's happening, and there's like bubbles everywhere. And I'm walking past the shipping container, and this guy steps out who looks like fat wizard Jesus. Like, okay. He's like too young to be a wizard because his hair and beard is still brown, but mm-hmm. he's in like an actual wizard robe.
Okay.
And he says, hey, do you want to make some money? and here's the thing. I was so tired that I said no. I said no thanks, and I kept walking. And like, I don't get a lot of opportunities in my old age for like a side quest like that, but like, imagine where I could be right now.
Where would that have taken you? I don't know.
I mean, I'd probably be dead. Let's be real. Yeah, but on the off chance that I wouldn't. Like, a few years ago, I was staying at my friend's place. He lives in a haunted post office, ghost office. And this is well documented in many books, so I can't mm-hmm. use the story myself.
Yep.
But everyone who stays in that house, they get visited by a woman the first 3 nights they are there. Mm-hmm. And she flies them around the room, she flies them down the stairs, and then she makes them promise that on the third night they'll fly out the front door with her. And she says that not many people are brave enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone I've spoken to who had those visitations has said they wouldn't fly out the front door with her because they knew if they did, they would never come back.
Mm.
There are 11 people who went missing from that house. So there's a solid chance that it's real. I've only ever stayed there 2 nights at a time, so I've never gotten to do that third night. And my friend just sold the place, so now I never will. I could be in Ghostland right now.
Yeah, you could be. Or, I don't know.
I'm still trying to process Wizard Jesus and the bubbles. Yeah.
Why did he have so much detergent? And
I don't know.
Like, I really want to know where this dude is now. Like, what his life is.
Maybe he just washes his robes like once a century, and he misunderstood the new technology that is laundry machines or something. I don't know. He thought it was some type of black magic, and now he's just spewing bubbles everywhere and has no idea what to do.
Yeah, I'm in love with the image in my head of this man. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm the regret that I'm living in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I'm regretful that I never got to see this man, let alone go on a side quest.
Go to Hollywood Boulevard at night and you might get it. You might.
God. I miss that place so much. I'm on day 198 of being in isolation. Aside from the flight from there to here in the middle, and I'm just starting to crack a little bit. Where I'm like, there is this guy Andrew who lives in a tent by an overpass, who told me if I ever walked past him again, he would stab me. But then I saw him another time when he had a whole shopping cart full of doll's heads, and he gave me one.
So
that doesn't happen here.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's like a whole nother world almost, and the rules don't make sense. There isn't rules. I don't know. It's amazing. But so you're still working away though, and.
Yeah, it's still working away. I've got to do. I have to actually. Annoyingly, I have to fly to New Zealand next week because everything has been slowed down with trying to get my residency here in Canada. Now that I can't be in America, so I have to go back to New Zealand for 3 months.
Oh.
But I have to somehow manage to average 3 pages of finished art every day from now until April 1st because I've got 2 ongoing series now. There's another one called Cardboardia, which hasn't been officially announced, but it's basically kids who can travel through cardboard boxes into a magical world made entirely of cardboard. And I have to get all of that done, and I don't know how I'm going to do it.
I think you can bend space and time with your mind from talking to you today.
That has to be the goal.
Yeah, it has to be some way to fit it within that.
So, not to diminish any of these projects because they all sound amazing, but in all of this, you said that Blast Source went on hiatus. What is the status of that as a series? Is that kind of, are you done with that?
I don't know. I'm not done with it. I mean, I've been drawing Blasto since I was 22. Mm. So, there's a sort of curse with Blasto that the first publishing deal. That all went wrong and ended with me crying in a bathroom at Comic-Con and then having my Starro figures stolen by a pro wrestler. Long story, I won't get into that one. Also got stalked by a Santa Claus. 2010 was a bad Comic-Con for me. But they, 15 issues were drawn, and then the first 6 were released, all missing pages, and were recalled after a day. And... Wow. The rest of them never came out. When I redid it for New Zealand, I rewrote the whole thing because I was like, I don't want to be stuck with that, that former energy. And I got up to issue 15 and then got divorced and my house fell down. So it stopped. And then I moved to America and I finished the art on issue 9 of the ongoing, but there are 6 other specials. So hit 15 again, and then COVID hit, and they were like, Diamond is shut down, we don't know what we're doing, we just have to stop everything for now, and we'll relaunch at some point. But I don't know when that some point's going to be. So it's like, every time we get to 15 issues, I just have to start over, I think.
It's cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's got to be a curse. But I mean, right now, we can send people to buy Black Sand Beach. It's on Amazon right now, right?
It's everywhere. Anywhere you can go. Bookshop.org is where I recommend because it supports local independent bookstores.
Awesome.
And go there. Screw Amazon.
Yeah.
The first 2 volumes of Blasto from Golden Apple Books are available through the Golden Apple website or through my website, richardvergray.com. You can click through and find links to buy them there. And they're good. Like the first two volumes are really good. I'd love to keep it going. Like volume three ends with issue 9 and it ends with a big old cliffhanger. And like, it's now been, I guess, a little over 6 months since I drew that. And I'm like, I would really like to do that issue 10, but I don't have time and no one's paying me to do it right now.
Right.
So yeah. I won't.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you have the time for it. And if we want to send our viewers and listeners to where they can follow you, it's your website and social media are on there.
Yeah. On Instagram, I'm Richard Fairgray Author, and that's where you can go to see a lot of pictures of the things I'm drawing and a lot of pictures of me and my skeleton and my dogs, although the dog pictures will grind to a halt once I'm in New Zealand because they are all staying here. But I'm taking my skeleton with me. So
good.
So
what was his name?
He's been with you this long. You got to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, I his name is Nigel. I got him in Australia. I was working at a convention there for a publisher who I won't name. And the boss of the publishing company came up and he said, "Hey, I bought this." And he holds up this plastic skeleton. I'm like, "Okay, cool." He's like, "Yeah, put a staff shirt on him. It'll be funny." I'm like, "Is this your way of telling me you haven't hired anyone to sell books this weekend?" He's like, "Yeah, you can do that." I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I sold my books and not his, and then I had a lot of space in my suitcase, and I was like, "Hey, I can take Nigel home with me. I can give him back to you next week." And I didn't. I kept him for myself. I did put together a fake letter from Child Protective Services and send it to him, explaining that Nigel would be safer with me.
That's
which
amazing.
He did not find funny. And so he's been with me for 9 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just a symbol of all your I don't know, all the trials and tribulations you've gone through he's withstood it all with you, so you got to keep him around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He for a brief period he got a job as a mascot for the New Zealand equivalent of WD-40. But it didn't take off or last very long. And I stole him back.
That's amazing. Yeah, he tried the work force thing. It didn't work out for him.
Well, I think a lot of people get frustrated with him because he's meant to be able to stand up on his own, and he definitely is too old to do that now.
Yep. That's why he's seated currently.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And he does have a mask on because he's responsible.
Right, he's a responsible skeleton. It makes sense.
Yeah,
but Richard, we'd love to have you back sometime. This was awesome. I'd love to hear more of your crazy stories and your observations in the world of like things you see and how you see them and how you talk about them is just so captivating. So we'd love to have you back. I'm definitely getting into Black Sand Beach. I'm going to read that, and hopefully we can have you back just to talk about that some more. And anytime you're welcome, but please check out richardfairgray.com.
I was going to say richardfairgray.com. I was just browsing it. You can click on any of the books we talked about today, purchase them through that. So that's a great place to go to find all those books. And Richard, when you do come back, I need to hear about how a pro wrestler stole your Starro, because now that's in my head.
Yep.
That has replaced the wizard.
I will tell you, I'll give you this one detail of the story.
Okay.
The company who messed up the printing on Blastosaurus and recalled it all decided to leave Comic-Con 2 days early because they had no reason to be there anymore. And they canceled the hotel rooms. And I'm like, "Guys, I flew in from New Zealand, though." And they're like, "Okay, well, you're going to share a room with our friend. He's a wrestler." I was like, "All right." And I get into the room late that night, and he is very kindly, like, he's a nice guy, you know. He's sleeping on the floor, but I've never met him. And he's sleeping on the floor so that I can have the bed. Very considerate. And the TV is on, and he's got Troy on pay-per-view. And I turn it off because he's asleep, and he sits bolt upright, and I've never seen a human with an upper body this large, and I've never seen someone actually sit up like a cartoon before from sleep.
Yeah.
And he just looks at me and he goes, "I need that to sleep."
Oh my God.
I was like, "All right then." I guess we're watching Troy all night long. I woke up in the morning, Troy was still playing, the wrestler was gone, and my starfish had disappeared.
Oh, no. What a story.
So look, yeah, like I'm Richard Fairgray author on Instagram. I'm Richard Fairgray on Facebook and Twitter. I'm the only Richard Fairgray in the entire world, so I'm pretty easy to find. Awesome. And I promise moderately funny content.
Hey, well, you got
moderately
you gotta,
funny is better than what they get from us. So
yeah, we can't even you know set that bar for ourselves. So awesome.
Thanks so much, man. This has been fantastic. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Welcome to the other side.
Hey, we're on the other side. So, yeah, richardfairgray.com has all the links to all the books you want to buy. He doesn't want you to support Amazon, so go support the local bookstores with his link. And, yeah, I mean...
And, like I said, if you go to his website, richardfairgray.com, and you click on Black Sand Beach, it'll send you to that website.
Yep, it brings you right there. So... Yeah. Go there. That's all you need to know. And we got to have him back because.
I need to know about the Starro. Like, yeah. I need to know what happened with Starro.
Starro and the man's life is a comic book in itself. And like you said, we should do a Netflix doc series on him. Such a cool dude. And to get these crazy stories, and it's awesome. I mean, I'm so happy we got to do that. So, yeah, it's weird. I still feel so like pumped up about like what a great interview we had, and we get to talk about comics still, you know. So
yeah. So go support him. Like, yeah. The work's great. Last Source is great. Black Sand Beach sounds awesome. Go there, support the man.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I know you're all excited about this. Marvel is bringing back its solo Black Cat series.
Finally.
Oh, Chris. Yep, there you go. You finally speculated right for once. Just in time for the King in Black event this December with the same creative team and a new number one. So just because it has King in Black in the event name, they're like, who is we got Black Cat. Throw her in there, I guess.
Listen, I don't care about Catwoman in a solo series. I definitely don't care about Black Cat in a solo series. Yeah. That said, there are people that did enjoy this book and said the creative team was great. Good. Yeah. This book's there for you.
Yep, there you go. I'm just like, I have the notes in front of me. We have notes, people. I just want to let you know. And there's something coming up that I just can't wait to talk about with Chris because I know he's going to want to, like, I feel like he just kicked the door at his front, the front of his house, the front door of his house. And just scream to the world, like, thank you for this. So I can't wait to get to this.
It's been a week, both personally and through the show professionally, where yeah. I have been right. And it's been nice. It's a nice feeling, everybody. You know that feeling when you're right, and everybody told you you were wrong, but you were right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, for sure. I'm never right, so I don't really know what that feels like, but yeah, sure. Marvel announces a King in Black tie-in / holiday special for December titled Doctor Doom / Iron Man number 1. This book will be written by Christopher Cantwell with art by Salvador LaRocca. The comic will bring together these two characters against a common threat, Santa Claus. Santa Claus has been taken over by a symbiote controlled by Null. So is this a first-time tie-in / event book?
Yeah, we speculated this when we talked about it privately, and I was like, I don't know, but I'm so down for everything this book is.
Right.
And I want it now.
Yeah.
Like, the team-up is great, the characters are great, right. The villain is Santa Claus, and it ties into the King in Black.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I want this in my life today.
So, I don't need, like, symbiote Santa Claus is terrifying because he has access to all the children's homes all over the world, and he's probably going to leave them like gifts of like little symbiotes that like control children or something. It sounds super vile. Like, so,
what's more terrifying, symbiote Santa Claus or robot Santa Claus from the future?
It's gotta be symbiote. I don't know, things from space freak me out more than artificial intelligence. I don't know why. What would be yours?
I think Symbiote as well.
Oh, okay. It's like, oh, do you have something against robots or like AI or Skynet freaks you out?
Punch Terminator was dick. It'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. It'll be fine. Yeah, so also tying into the King of Black is the Immortal Hulk with a one-shot comic coming December by Al Ewing, art by Aaron Cooter. The one-shot is also said to bring back the Hulk alter ego Joe Fixit, who I had no idea who Joe Fixit was. Chris, are you a big fan of Joe Fixit?
Not particularly. It's just I love Immortal Hulk.
Yeah.
And even the tie-ins to like how he's tied into the different events
mm-hmm.
with Immortal Hulk has been really awesome. Like, it just shows that Al Ewing is a very talented writer and had a very had a perfect vision for Immortal Hulk that works within the confines of a big two publisher. And yeah, Joe Fixit. Like that, I mean, it's the Hulk, but he's a mobster and he has a top hat.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Had a fedora. Like, yeah. Okay, well, yeah. What could go wrong with that?
He's like Matches Malone, but Hulk form. Okay, here we go. Patton Oswalt and Jordan Bloom, the showrunners for the upcoming MODOK series on Hulu, have been tapped to write a MODOK comic book coming 2021. Chris?
Fuck yes.
Are you happy about this? I don't know. I can't tell. Is this something you've been asking for since the show started?
So, yeah, anyone who doesn't know, MODOK is the best character in comic books. I love being serious, but I love MODOK.
You can't say you love MODOK, but you can't even say that with a straight face.
And so far, not only am I getting a MODOK TV series,
right?
If you play Marvel's Avengers for whatever video game system you use, the main villain is MODOK, and now I'm getting another solo MODOK series. Like, I thought when we got the one during Secret Wars, it was like, this is the only time I'm ever getting a MODOK series, and I'm going to love it with all my heart. And now I'm getting a second one, and Patton Oswalt's writing it. Like,
awesome.
I'm so down for this. I can't wait.
Yeah. This is like that one era, one year where was it Villains United or whatever in DC where they focused on Owlman.
Yeah.
And that was my time. It wasn't that much publicity with Owlman, but like that was like, oh, can't get enough of Crime Syndicate. And then they kind of disappeared forever.
Let me say this, though. Like, when they decide to do another Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's done much better. Can we please get the Crime Syndicate in film? Like, the Crime Syndicate is also one of my favorite DC like villain groups.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It is.
Like, do that, please.
Yeah. It's like a failed Justice League from another Earth that all they know is I could talk about the Crime Syndicate forever. Marvel has announced that they'll celebrate Conan the Barbarian's 50th comic book anniversary, thank God I was so worried, with the Return of the King-sized Conan. The issue will include stories from Roy Thomas, Steve McNiven, Chris Claremont, Kurt Busiek, awesome, Kevin Eastman, and more. This will be Eastman's first ever Marvel comic book work. As you couldn't tell from my exclamation with his name, yes. He's never written for Marvel, and he wants to do a Conan the Barbarian story, so why not?
So I talked with a friend who's a giant Turtles fan, hence he's a giant Eastman fan. I guess he's done Conan in the past, just with Dark Horse.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That was what I got from that conversation. But it's huge for me that he's going to Marvel. And I become more and more of the comic book version of Conan, like a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently started reading Roy Thomas's run, which is said to be like one of the best runs ever.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he's doing, not only is he coming back to it, but it's going to be a prequel to what he did in that series. I'm excited. And yeah, Chris Claremont and Kurt Busiek, like two of the best ever. And all these other guys. Yeah, this is going to be cool. I'm going to pick up this issue.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it sounds really cool and that he's hopping on with it. IDW has announced that they'll be adding another series to their Marvel Action line titled Marvel Action Origins. As the title states, the series will be a one-shot stories telling Marvel superhero origins in all ages format. Pretty cool. Get a little exposure to different heroes.
Yeah. I had a recent conversation with someone too about how like comic books and comic book stores in particular like failed a certain generation, basically the generation right above ours, and like lost them to time and space. And I love that not only Marvel signed this deal for Marvel Action, but like IDW has been killing it with it. And I've actually been sending a few people I know that are around my same age that have kids to the series. And the fact that they're going to do these one shots that are like, you know, some of them are going to be, Spider-Man got bitten by a spider, but you know, how many people know, like truly know Ant-Man's origin, or, you know, truly know Iron Man's a bad example, but a lot of these origins aren't known to especially kids. So I'm down for this to exist, and I hope it's successful because I want kids into comics. So that so that selfishly comics last until I'm older.
Exactly. Yep. Because we all have agendas. DC has announced that there will be three new Tales from the Dark Multiverse books. They're like, you get a book, you get a book, you book. Coming in December. First up is a reimagining of War of the Gods, written by Vita Ayala, with art by Ariel Olivetti. War of the Gods, definitely a big name in DC. Never read it.
Needs to be reprinted.
Needs to be reprinted, and that's probably the reason I never read it was... For one of the, it was one of those event books that never got. I mean, you see all the events always like, I don't know.
It's an old event book too, where like it only appeared through analogs annuals.
Yep.
So it's tough to get even in floppy.
Okay.
But yeah, like how it hasn't been reprinted, and like especially, you got a Wonder Woman movie coming out.
Right.
Reprint War of the Gods. Do it.
Right. There'll be a reimagining of Crisis on Infinite Earths by Steve Orlando and Mike Perkins. Awesome. Yeah. And finally, a reimagining of Dark Knight's Metal by Scott Snyder with no artist yet announced. I mean, it's gotta be Greg Capullo. They gotta write him a big fat check for that. But now, I mean, now they're like, we run out of events. Well, the most recent event was Dark Knight's Metal, so we could do a reimagining of the Dark Knight's Metal with the Dark Knight's, you know, Death Metal Dark Knight book. Makes sense.
Well, so I was thinking about it too, and you remember that event they did during New 52 with the Crime Syndicate? I don't remember what it was called. But it was really good.
The villains United. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It's a simple story, but it was just really good.
Yep.
And the Crime Syndicate rule.
Yep.
Can we get a Dark Multiverse version of that?
Right.
Like, I would love to see how that goes wrong, like, and how we get a Dark Batman out of that. Like a Dark Bat Owl Man?
Oh, yeah. Like, all the villains are... They could really do anything with this event.
Or a Dark Batman who snorts kryptonite to get power. Like, that'd be awesome. Let's do do that, please.
Dark that, Knight that, metal Ultraman or something.
That being said, I will buy all these because this series has been really great.
For sure. A series that might not be so great. And in January, DC will be releasing a one-shot titled Generations Shattered, number one. So this is what probably came out of that whole Generations thing. It was supposed to be like five books, but now we get this one. It's an 80-page one-shot. It's going to team up the original. So it's teaming up a bunch of specific characters. Chris and I can't really figure out the connection between all of them. If you guys figure it out, please drop us a line because I don't know. Batman from Detective Comics number 27. Commandy, my all-time favorite character. Boo. I don't... Commandy just forces this... They force Commandy down your throat and it makes no sense. Starfire from what looks like New Teen Titans. Sinestro in a Green Lantern outfit. So this is pre-Crisis Sinestro origin, I believe.
Or New 52
New Sinestro. 50, oh, yeah, New 52 Sinestro. Booster Gold, Booster Gold could be from anywhere, any timeline. And then Dr. Light, we all know from, was mainly focused on in Identity Crisis. And Steel, in a quest to save the universe. There was no mention of how this relates to 5G, 5G's back, what they're going to do with the current DC universe. All I can say is the only common thing I can find is that in saving the universe is that none of these heroes are qualified to save the universe.
So I should have adjusted that, but Jim Lee did say that this isn't rebooting the DC universe and that like 5G isn't happening.
Oh.
So I guess we have that, but yeah. Still, yeah, I'm confused. Did you pick up Detective 1027?
No, I did not.
So apparently there's a story that leads into this and that, where Commandy goes back in time with Booster Gold to get Batman. I don't know. I kind of like, I did the 1000 Detective. I did the 1000 Action. Yeah. When they made a big fuss about 1027, I was just like, you already did this twice. Like, you don't get a third.
Also, when you put Commandy in a Batman book, I just won't read it. So,
but I probably will read this because I'm a sucker.
Yeah, I mean, now I need to kind of know what's going on, but whatever. Batman Black and White is returning for a 60-issue series in December with a long list of characters, including Tom King, or a long list of writers, creators. Tom King, Paul Dini, Chip Zdarsky, and more. Awesome. I think Batman Black and White is a cool project. I think it's awesome. It's a cool way to tell Batman stories.
Yeah, it's a cool way for a creator to take a version of Batman they want and tell a quick story.
Yep.
And they've been good.
Not have a huge commitment like what's coming now. Batman Catwoman was announced and it's going to hit comic shelves this December. So technically it came out in 2020. Do we even care anymore? Yeah, I'll probably still read it, but better late than never, I guess. I don't know.
I still want to read it. Mostly because Phantasm's in it. Right. But yeah, like, what's up with the delay on it? Why? It's been over a year. It was supposed to be January 2020.
Yep.
And it was supposed to end December 2020. Or probably January 2021. But anyways. Yeah, what's up with the delay? Is it just that they wanted it all done before they solicited it? Is it still a 12-issue series? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That means that I'll still buy it.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'll still read it. Jim Lee said in an interview that there are plans to continue the Earth One line of original graphic novels. He said that they are giving creative teams time to craft their stories before announcing any further books, which makes sense for that line. Everything comes out as a trade, and usually they don't announce something until it's like going to be a definite thing. They did say, what, JMS is coming out with another Superman?
So, yeah, like 2015, they announced that there's another Superman.
Yeah.
They also announced that the guy who's doing Flash is doing an Aquaman book. And then Lemire was coming back to do Teen Titans.
So Williamson is doing Aquaman?
Yes, Williamson. Williamson.
Yep.
Jeff Johns and Gary Frank are doing another Batman
which awesome.
We'll see in like 10 years. Cause
yeah, Gary Frank.
Neither of them can get work done. Yeah.
Gary Frank's an amazing artist, but also he very, I mean, it takes some time to produce those amazing artwork.
And it took Jeff Johns 5 years to do 3 Jokers. So,
yep. Yeah, it did. DC Universe is officially rebranding coming this January. There it is, folks. DC Universe will become DC Universe Infinite. And will be a comic book only service. Their service will include back issues as well as new issues and exclusive early access to DC's slate of digital first / only comics. All the shows and movies will be moving to HBO Max. So it's like a Marvel Unlimited, right?
Yes, and I told you.
Yeah,
this is my second victory lap. I predicted this a while ago.
Yep.
Not that it's a huge leap, but yeah. So it's Marvel Unlimited Plus, because Marvel Unlimited is you get the entire backlog.
Right.
I think it's 3 months out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's whatever. But so it's that, but you also kind of get like exclusive, like those DC dailies that we were liking during the core of the pandemic.
Right.
And then the Injustice book and the Deceased book, like stuff like that will be early on this service. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, like, if you're going to rebrand, can you please put it on everything? And not just, like, because I'm not going to read a comic book on my TV. I want it on my tablet, please.
Yeah. And I remember for a while I was using my phone to read the comics, and they kind of scroll along just like Comixology. let's jump into what we read. I don't have my notes from last week's stuff, so I'm going to have to like rewrite those up. But this week, I caught up on Injustice Year Zero, 4-6. So I can give a recap of all of these really quick. 4 follows where that amulet was buried. The amulet is in World War II, and we know it's tied to Hitler somehow. So they use the amulet on Johnny Thunder to fight the JSA, or have him fight the JSA, and it like, you know, makes the person evil. So that was a pretty cool scene, and then it gets buried under the sea. Issue 5.
God damn it.
Superman and Lois go speak with Dr. Midnight. He's having some concern. I think he's struggling with the whole hero dynamic thing, which is like something that's always been explored with Superman, right? Of like, yeah. Am I a good hero? It's just funny that they go to his doctor's office and it's completely pitch black there because he just sits in the dark. Joker teams up with Black Manta to go find the amulet because it is buried in the Marianas Trench. They get the amulet, and then Joker takes control of Alan Scott Green Lantern when he shows up with this amulet, because you can't control people, you know, with this thing. Get to issue 6. Batman starts off with Batman at a crime scene, and Wesley Dodds, the Sandman from JSA, is dead. We find out that Joker has used Alan Scott's Green Lantern to break into the JSA headquarters, and sees a photo, and he's like, he sees Batman and Ted Grant with like their arms around each other in the photo, and is like, I want to kill Ted Grant to like really hurt Batman. Like, he could tell Batman respects this person, and it's not, Batman doesn't just respect or idolize anybody because he's Batman. So Sandman shows up, he kills him. He goes to get rid of the body, and he finds out, poor timing, that there's a limit to the Green Lantern ring, and he falls like 3 or 4 stories, drops the Sandman body trying to dispose it, and Green Lantern laying there supposedly dead, but when Batman finds the bodies, Green Lantern's gone, so we don't know where he is. Pretty cool stuff. I mean, I love JSA, so I'm going to keep up with this. I've also gone back and purchased some of the omnibuses on Comixology to, you know, refresher on all the Injustice stuff, just because it's getting me back into it.
It's good stuff.
Yep. Justice League 53, Enter the Metalverse. This is Joshua Williamson. Zerminichi's art is amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. We're in the future, and Nightwing's got some crazy like looking armor Viking stuff, and he's riding a robot comet. And that, yes, the comet is the horse from Supergirl's horse. So pretty cool to see. They stumble upon Detective Chimp fighting off some bad dudes. Him and Hawkgirl come in and save him. And because Hawkgirl and Nightwing are on a mission to find Perpetua's throne. That's what they've been tasked to do. This is a crazy good issue. They grab Detective Jim. Hey, we need your help finding this throne. They get to the Hall of Justice. It's destroyed. And Luther is hanging out there because he wants to find the Legion of Doom and get them back. Come to find out, that's what's powering the throne. So he wants to get to the throne as well. It's protected by 2 baddies. And he tells a story of how Martian Manhunter went in there thinking he's a god and got his ass kicked. So, and he hasn't come out since. It's protected by this big epic Omega Knight who kind of looks like Galactus, which was awesome. He's like a Galactus Batman robot thing. So cool. But he's like, that's not even the worst thing. The worst thing is they got to get past Mindhunter Batman. And then there's this awesome scene of like Martian Manhunter fighting the Manhunter Batman. And that's like, well, shit, they're going to need Luther's help to get back in there. And, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I thought it was a great issue. I don't know if you read it, but
I liked it. It was a little disappointing to me because I want to get into the Legion of Doom.
Yep.
And like what their effect on all this is.
Right.
And I thought we were that. And honestly, when Nightwing showed up in the beginning, I was just like, what the fuck is this? But that being said, art was awesome, and the story ended up being really good. So
That's, I mean, Nightwing alone isn't a strong enough character for me, but it went to a cool place. Take Your Kid to Work Day number one. This was a book sent to us by Damian Starr and art by Peter Gostein. It's an indie book, and I'm going to give my review. I don't know, Chris, if you read it. No.
I didn't have time to do it.
Okay. Well, you'll get to it. But yeah, I thought it was a solid first issue. Basically, there's a kid and his parents are separated. Amazing art on the cover because I'm always intrigued with giant swords, and it's the kid holding a giant sword. Basically, the parents are split up. The dad works for I don't want to spoil too much, but he works for a science lab, doing stuff with brain scanning, and the son's been having nightmares about monsters and stuff like that. He goes with his dad to work one day. Some portal or something happens in another restricted area of the facility. Something comes through the portal. The son gets lost, finds this giant sword in the stone, which looks awesome. I want to see more of that, him with the giant sword. Also, it's almost like fantasy has leaked out into the real world because, the end, you're seeing, dragons and stuff in the city. So, seemed really cool. I like where it's going, that, maybe this kid is chosen for something. Maybe, there's almost, a mixture of science and magic. Really solid first issue. We'll get you more info where to find that, hopefully. And I thought it was great. Then Batman 99. So Joker basically, we're preparing for the big fight in Batman 100. Joker sets it all up for Batman to meet him at Ace Chemical. He gets the Bat family out and is basically like, hey guys, you got to go take care of all this shit while I go fight Joker. There's all the people are going to the theaters. We got to stop them from doing that. He stops Harley from wanting to kill the Joker because she's like, this is the deal. You got to let me kill Joker. And he's like, no, you can't do that. So the end of the issue, we get Batman at Ace Chemical. And he runs into one of the Joker turned zombie people, and it's Alfred. And it's like, it's really gross. He talks about digging up his body, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, neck is all snapped and stuff. And he's like, this can't be Alfred. And he says Master Wayne. It's really messed up. And then Joker's behind him in some tricked out Joker bat suit. It's like the normal bat suit. It's got green and ha ha ha. It was pretty cool. And then they're like, okay, they'll duke it out, fight night or something.
Yeah, I saw that suit. It reminded me of the game. What was Gotham something? I can't remember it, but it was a shooter game where you were either on the Joker team or the Batman team, but all the Joker uniforms were that suit minus the pointy ears.
I don't remember.
It was a weird one. It was a long time ago too, but
yeah, but that's what I had this week.
So I'll jump through mine quick. Star Wars number 6. It feels like forever since I read Star Wars anything. Mm-hmm. And basically, Luke's trying to find somebody who can help him get a lightsaber. She used to be a Padawan in training, and then she turned down the Force. So she sends him to this temple that was a temple for the High Republic, where he finds a lightsaber. The big thing here is that it makes the yellow lightsaber for Luke canon. So anyone that doesn't know, there was a toy back in the original run of toys where Luke had a yellow lightsaber, and Luke never had one.
Yeah, right.
Now he does. Okay. It was a cool story. Most of the guys just love Star Wars. So Star Wars Darth Vader number 5. So I got a double dose Star Wars. It was the end of the story where Vader goes back and tries to find out what happened with Padme after the events of episode 3. And he finds the area where she was taken to give birth to Luke and Leia. And basically gets really mad because he finds out that not only did Obi-Wan take her and try to help her, but Obi-Wan kind of was sneaking in on there on his girl, and he didn't like that. And he gets real mad. And then it ends with him going back to Palpatine, and Palpatine telling him, this is what a Sith is, and you've been wallowing in your sorrow is not Sith-like.
Right.
So now we're going to have to start over with your training, and that's setting up the next story arc, which is going to be Palpatine retraining Vader, apparently.
Okay.
Captain America 23, still not liking that series. Thor number 7 was kind of a wrap-up of everything that happened. So Thor's back on Asgard. He brings in Beta Ray Bill and is like, I want you to be my second in command. And basically, if you know I become a dickhead again, I want you to beat the crap out of me. Meanwhile, he throws his hammer down the Midgard.
Okay.
And wants revenge on Tony Stark for something he did. So what he does is he writes Tony Stark's cell phone number on it and just leaves Midgard. Oh, so okay. Then everybody starts calling Tony to be like, hey, what's up with this hammer? So he actually comes down and sees. And he's like, God damn it. Big thing here is if you call that number, you can actually get a voicemail or a voice message from Tony Stark, which is kind of hilarious to me. And then Thor tells the story of, like, you know, something about being a king is hurting his ability to use Mjolnir. And he feels it getting heavier every day. But he says, not only that, there's something going on where it's not that I'm becoming unworthy, but it seems like almost anybody can be worthy. And it ends with this character that they set up in the beginning of the issue, who was just a normal dude who worked on cars in this town. And he picks up Mjolnir and becomes Thor. Now, I don't think that's permanent, but I think it's just right. Proving a point that, like, anybody can pick it up right now.
Anybody, yeah. Okay.
It's Aaron Cooter doing the art, so it's not Nick Klein, but it was still a well-drawn issue, and I really enjoyed it. So Thor's been really great. It was a downer from last week's issue, which was just amazing, but I still think it's a good book to check out. And then I picked up another book on a whim. So I picked up Iron Man number 1. This is the book written by Cantal with art by Cafu. I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. It's Cafu.
Okay.
And I really liked it. It was, so Iron Man, Tony Stark, decides he's going to move back to New York. He sells off Stark Industries. Just decides he wants to, quote unquote, get back to basics. And throughout the issue, you get this back and forth where he has a Twitter account, although they don't call it Twitter. Mm-hmm. And people are just constantly shitting on him on Twitter. And he's just kind of just like, I'm sick of this. Like, I'm a hero. I want to be a hero. And I don't want to have to deal with all this other shit. So he brings out this old suit, and the suit they put him in is, like, I'm pretty sure it's a suit from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, okay.
And goes out and fights crime, and they bring back a villain we should have done for Shitty Villain of the Week, the Unicorn.
Oh, wow.
And
that's awesome.
You know, he fights him, and basically in the background there's something bigger happening. But I really liked what the story was about, which was a guy who was, you know, he's a successful person. He was born into money. Mm-hmm. And was able to do all these great things, but just is constantly getting shit from everybody because it's not enough or because he did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And wants to just go back to being Iron Man and being a hero.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really cool story that they have here. So I'm going to keep going on with this book. Like I said, I picked up on a whim. I definitely recommend it. Cool. And the first issue has a wraparound cover by Alex Ross. You know, it's hard to see. Like,
amazing.
It's just amazing. Wow. I would love to have that as a poster of some sort.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for this week. So, Mike, where can people find you on those internets?
They can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show?
They can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter. You can find the show at fortresscomicnews.com. And if you're listening to us, everybody, remember to give us a 5-star review on whatever podcatcher you use. Like, subscribe, and share on YouTube, and comment down below on the video. Reminder to everybody, September 23rd, Comixology Battle Monsters number 1 will be available. So please go check that out. Really appreciate it. And if you want more, including things like early access to podcasts we do, go to patreon.com/fortresscomicnews where you can support us further there. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.